Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Jason.
I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer and we'll get started.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us this opportunity. Father, we ask that you allow us to be fishers of men and women today. Give us the nets. Fill them with fish, Father. Help us bring back a harvest that is rich for you. We thank you that you have entrusted us with this opportunity. And we ask that you help us to approach it with humility and come out of it, understanding that victory is already ours. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Whew. Oh, Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 18 is what that opening verse was.
Have you seen the new Happy Gilmore? Happy Gilmore 2?
The new Happy Gilmore? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Shooter McGavin.
Shooter.
Yeah. Dude, the creepiest part is when that dude goes to tee off and he turns around and he like spins all the way around and he's looking at him and Happy Gilmore's like, hello. He's like teeing off and he like turns because you know they got that.
They're like, cut. Yeah, with the hip.
Yeah. And he turns all the way around.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's so funny. Yeah. So funny.
It was pretty.
I was watching that with my mom before you got here, before I came in here.
Oh, okay. Well, and it was not for nothing. It's not as good as the first one to me. The first one was, I mean, it was great. Of course, it's a cult classic. You know what I mean? It's from 94-ish. You know what I mean? I'm like 14 years old. So it's like the one of the movies that I love that my parents were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. You know what is wrong with you?
Yeah, exactly.
That and Billy Madison and Waterboy.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's cool. I like it. It's definitely up to the times, I think, as far as like.
Have you ever seen Murder Mystery with him and Jennifer Aniston?
No, I never actually watched
it. Dude, that's a good one. That one's pretty funny, too.
The little thing at the end where they're on that rotating green and all that stuff is like really strange to me. I'm like, come on, man. It's like basically it's like technology taking over the world, which
is happening.
It's happening if you pay attention. Yeah. But, you know, it was just a way for people to cheat. And it also was like the whole PGA and LIV Golf thing and like how they're in competition with each other and, you know. It's some of that. It was a good movie. I liked it. I hate that they killed Virginia Vennett.
Yeah.
Right off Jump Street. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Virginia Vennett was half the reason you watched that movie you were 14.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
I've been watching The Chosen again. I started
over. I need to get back. I told myself I was going to binge watch it. I was going to go back to season one, episode one, and binge watch it.
Yeah. It's just as impactful the second time, maybe even more so.
Yeah, you probably catch, just like anything else, you catch little things that you didn't see the first time. Like,
well, and also think about how much more you've studied and read the Bible since then, you know what I mean, since we watched it together. I never made it, so I only watched the first three seasons. I still haven't watched four or five. Yeah. And now they're talking about a six coming. And so
five is the Crucifixion.
Crucifixion. I think the season is referred to as the Last Supper. That's the one where we actually use the video where he's talking to Judas at the Last Supper.
Yeah, he's like, you don't have to be here anymore.
Yeah, he has you now.
He has you. Ooh. He says, who? He says, not God.
Yeah. It's as plain as it can be.
That was a pretty powerful, like, it gave me chill bumps watching it the first time. So I haven't actually seen that episode. I'm not there yet, but.
Dude, that is nuts.
What just happened?
No, it's just nuts. Oh,
just thinking about it? Yeah. Sorry, I thought something popped up on the screen.
No. No, it's just nuts. What? I mean, to think about it. I mean,
yeah.
I can't imagine being that guy.
I can't either.
That guy.
Like, I hope I'm not even close to that guy. You know what I mean? I don't think I am, but. Okay, so I was watching season one, and I started this a few weeks back, and I only watched like a couple episodes a week. I'm not like binging. And a few weeks back, we were kind of talking about this whole thing and this whole process and like, what's the purpose? Or like, is it actually making an impact and all that? And I was watching the episode where Peter was out there fishing on Shabbat, right? And then he's out there and he's just keeps tossing out the nets and he's talking to God and he's like, yeah, see, I do, you know what I mean? He's doing that whole thing, and then his brother and his friends show him up, James and John, and their dad, Zebedee or whatever, and they help fish and they toss nets all night long, and you just, the frustration, and like, I was relating to a conversation that you and I had. And then that last freaking time when Christ was like, just toss him out one more time.
Throw it over the right side.
And Peter's
throw
like
the left side.
And
throw
Peter
it off the left side.
Just a little further out that way. And Peter's like, dude, we've been doing this all night. There's no fish to be caught. And Jesus just looks at him. He's like, fine. I'll toss the nets one more damn time. I can see it in his mind. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he tosses the nets and damn near sinks the boats. You know what I mean? I was thinking about that, and like, we don't understand God's timing. We don't understand the one thing that we're going to say that could be the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to get, ooh, that's going to make that impact.
Ooh, I got something for you.
Bring it. I like that.
Man. Yeah. We're talking about timing. Hold on. Second Peter.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Chapter 3. It's towards the end.
2 Peter 3.
It's talking about God's timing. Hold on. I'm right there somewhere close. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people may think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
But the day of the Lord will come as unexpected as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and very elements themselves will disappear in a fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. What the part of that that caught me when he's so the way it like in my Bible, it's not on the same on the Bible app, but in my Bible, it talks about he's having patience for more people to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So less people perish.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the idea that he said he's being patient for your sake.
Yeah, for us.
Yeah, for your sake. He doesn't want to.
So you talk about God's timing. It's like, oof.
Yeah. Well, and those are the times when we need to be reminded of that, right? But sometimes our attitude is such that we don't want to hear it.
Yeah. I can't believe I pulled that out. I can't believe I remember that and I pulled it out.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's pretty. Yes. I was like, oh, wait, hold on. I got something for you.
And that's what we're talking about when we talk about putting God's word on your heart right there. I love that. That's awesome. But, you know, it's just. This is a labor of love.
Yeah.
Right? It's not. We didn't start it with. Okay, we've talked about this before. It's not like It's not wrong to have dreams. It's not wrong to have goals. It's not wrong to have that. And we started, of course, when you start anything, you have them in your mind.
Yeah.
But we didn't start it with that as the motivation.
No, it's, well, it's still not the motivation. It's not the, man, I don't know how to sound this without saying like, sound like a total jackass. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the total motivation. That's not what got me questioning things.
Sure.
It was the lack, like we get zero people interacting. It's not about like, it's not a popularity contest. That's not what I, that's not what was frustrating me. The, yeah. What was frustrating me was like, I see videos and it's like people doing stupid shit.
Very.
And there's people like commenting and interacting, and I'm like, this dude picked his nose and fell off a skateboard. Just being, I don't know if that's whatever. You know what I mean? Just I'm being hypothetical.
Yeah.
This dude picked his nose, fell off a skateboard, and you got like 9,000 comments and 40,000 likes. And I'm like, there's no substance to this. It's just being a douche. I mean, not my bad for being judgmental about people that. Pick well, their ass and ride skateboards being popular. You know what I mean?
I mean, the point and exactly what you're talking about is that is discouraging because it's like we're actually trying to do something substantive that has some value, some substance to it. It's not just random people hurting themselves or, by God, bearing a boob or something like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. That it's actually trying to bring some sort of positivity to the world and to the people. And, man, people are starved for it. They really are. And I don't know why they won't just lean into it. That's the problem. Like, why?
Shoot, oh, the internet is basically just a thirst trap is all it is. People are just, like, gawking. I'm like, and, like, I see some of the stuff I see, and it's like, man, dude, really? Really?
Yeah.
40,000 likes.
Mm-hmm. For what? This
chick clapped her hands and had underboob showing, and she got 40,000 likes. I'm like,
it's a,
how, what the?
Why? Why?
Man, what is,
not, you
what
got zero to? Out of that.
Yeah.
As a person. You know but what I mean?
Think that's why, like, men, like, the way I see it, like, kind of young men, like, don't want to settle down with women, like, because that's what they're like. I, you know, what I remember as a kid was like, my mom worked two jobs. My grandma was always home cooking. You know, like, if I'd go stay with my dad, I'd go stay with my grandma. And she was making, like, she'd sit in the kitchen and cook all day and make meals, like three square
breakfast,
meals.
Lunch, and dinner, baby.
Yeah, I woke up to biscuits and gravy with bacon and eggs, and then come lunchtime, I probably had like homemade grilled cheese. When I say homemade grilled cheese, I mean like she made the bread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She, of course, she didn't make the cheese, but she made fresh bread. And she, and they were, it was like, the thing I remember about it was so deformed looking because it was real homemade bread.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, it wasn't.
I can attest to that. I love to try to make things and golly, my bread looks terrible.
Like, I mean, it, you know, it looked like a, it looked like a, like a, like
clam a, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It just looked like, it looked like something you'd seen in a modern art museum. You know what I mean? The shape of it. But it was so good. And tomato soup, or it'd be hot ham and cheese, and she'd be in there like cutting up potatoes.
Yeah.
And make, she made like country style potatoes with your ham and cheese sandwich. She'd make french fries. She made,
fried taters is what we call them. Just, yeah.
Or whatever, or like then dinner time rolls around, you got chicken fried steak. I mean, it was like, and I was like, I'm hot lapping their field on this beach cruiser, dude. Handlebars like this wide, it seemed like, you know, banana seat like that long. You probably could have put four of my cousins on this with me, you know. But we would just, I mean, I remember those things. Nowadays, what kids are seeing is not the same thing. What kids are seeing is women being objectified by their bodies,
themselves.
They're not like the moral, their morals are so loose. You really honestly look at it nowadays, kids, their parents are divorced. So they're not seeing, you know, they're not seeing a lot of that stuff. So like the decline is there already. But yeah. you get – then it doesn't help none that you see videos like that. And I'm sure – God, man, I can't imagine what my kid thinks if he scrolls across something like that, you know. Yeah, and yeah. it's like, oh, this chick's famous. And he's like, oh, what's that? Underboob, you know.
Yeah. Well, and at 11, 12, 13, 14 for a boy, underboob's enough. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it really takes. For boys that young, and
yeah, and it's like whoop, whoop, like their pupils dilate, and it's like whoop, yeah, I know,
and
I watched, it's a Steven Seagal movie, and the chick jumps out of the cake with her boobs flopping around,
Under Siege,
yes, my dad had
that was a great moment. I was 14.
My dad had a VHS tape of that. And I remember sitting in his living room.
Rewind, play.
I mean, I don't know how many times I did it, but enough. I did it enough.
Every movie where you saw any kind of nudity.
Remember that scene. Mr. Skin or whatever. It was like a real thing. I don't remember if that's what it's called, but it was like a real thing. It told you like where.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
You know, they're...
Oh, what movies and what...
Yeah, but there's a movie made about that. What it's...
Golly,
there's a movie made about that where they're trying to mimic that. Anyways, there was a website that was like that, and
I remember a time before the internet. You remember a time before the
internet. Yeah, I remember the first time I saw a nudie magazine. I was like, what is that? And this is what it was. It was a chick holding a salad platter with her titties and some lettuce. And it was funny.
It's like a booby salad.
Dude, I laughed so hard. And what got me caught was because I was laughing so hard. And my mom's ex-husband, kicked the door in. He's like, what are you laughing at? And I couldn't hold it. I'm dying laughing. It's just the funniest thing I've ever seen. And, I literally got the piss beat out of me.
Nowadays.
I found his freaking magazine, you know?
Yeah, nowadays it's fetishism. You know what I mean? Food and...
The twisted body part of it is.
Yeah, let's not get too far off anyways, on this topic.
I don't know how we got on that topic, but you think about it, young men aren't really willing to settle down anymore because that's what they have to look forward to. It's not like any wholesome, I'm not saying there's not any.
There are.
But it just seems like you don't see it. It's not praised like it should be. Like wholesome women that are.
That's exactly it. That's actually the wife
material in things. Like, you just because a chick wants to get married doesn't mean she's wife material. That just means that she wants that status.
Yeah.
She's still going to go around
doing what she does. Yeah.
Doing whatever she does. Yeah.
This will go back to that 80-20 rule that we've talked. This will be the third week in a row I've brought that same thing up. That, the problem is the 80%, the part that's actually wholesome, is not as obvious. Right? The most obvious thing in the world now is all the bad. Because that's what sells. Well, that's the entertainment. Look at your news, bro. Look at your news. What's the first thing they go to? The most horrific stuff.
Okay. While that pull up TikTok. While this is fresh, I want to bring that one.
This
guy. I want to bring I want to share that story because this is part of the reason why.
Yeah. So right now, just as for instance, this has 6.5 million views right now. This video, as we are about to play it, when I screen record it later, it may have even more. It's very, very interesting. And this man is clearly a secular rapper, I'm assuming. He's not like a Christian rapper or whatever.
No.
But this instance where he has this experience.
Well, listen, now he's talking. You can clearly tell it's not a...
Right. He's early in his walk now, after
this certain thing happened to him.
You had an encounter with the devil?
Yeah, I got booked for a photo shoot. They took me all the way up this mountain. I was on top of the mountain. We finished the photo shoot. They have OD cars. They got a 3-seater McLaren. They got a Ferrari. And I'm asking them, like, how y'all get all this money? And like, we do demonic rituals. I'm laughing. No, you don't, bro. I'm like, how you get this money? Don't put me on. I'm trying to get like y'all. Like, nah, we do demonic rituals. I say, so what type of demonic ritual? He say, the Illuminati never talked to you. I'm laughing. I'm still laughing at him. Like, bro, you playing a game. Like, he like, bro, no, for real. Leonardo DiCaprio do all the initiation. I'm like, what? I'm like, who is that? What is you talking about, gang? Keep it PG-13. He was basically saying, either you let him peg you or you do oral and you'll get whatever you want. If you want to be the next big actress, next big whoever, I can take you to somebody. And all you-
that right there, sorry, just before I continue on playing that, so he can continue his story because it's very interesting.
Yeah.
There have been conversations that have been had, even in a joking manner, where we talk about, man, for $1 billion? For a billion dollars. You know what I'm saying? And what he's talking about is literally letting yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and you, like in a standard situation, wouldn't even consider doing this. But he's talking about like, yeah, dude, you let him give it to you or you perform an oral favor.
Yeah.
And that's how you get you in.
Yeah. Like, and you're famous and now you're getting paid.
Man. And it's about what? Money. And that goes back to that thing. It's not the money that's the problem. It's the love of money.
Yeah. It's that, what are you willing to do for the money?
Exactly.
You lose your morals, lose your values.
Lose your basically freaking innocence at all?
Yeah.
Dang.
All you gotta let them do is just do what they want to do to you before a night. Do some gay. Basically do some gay. They doing all this. I'm trying to call my Uber. We on top of the mountain, though. I don't got no service. The people who booked me left. After they leave, I'm in the car with the other dude that they called up to have a photo shoot with me. I get in the car with him in a three-seater with Claren. On the way up, we go all the way up, like in a swivel, like all the way around the mountain.
Yeah.
On the way down, we take a right. So he not going the same way that we came up. So then that's what I try. I'm like, take me to go get some McDonald's, gang. He said, we not going to take you to get no McDonald's. We spent all this money to get you up here. This face change game in front of me. You see Venom? Like,
yeah, like
Spider-Man?
Yeah, from Spider-Man.
Kind of like that. Probably about this wide. Face change. I'm like, what the? Like, it's about, probably about like right here. Like, see somebody morph into something?
Yeah.
It's like that. It threw me all the way off. We in the three-seater McLaren, so it's like.
Some of these are pretty stout.
I would rather be broke and be with God than to be rich and be with the devil. There's
you got to finish that story because the mailman thing at the end.
Yeah.
Like a button you got to push to get up out of there.
Gotcha.
He smack a mailbox. So now he hit the button and he get up out of there. He hit the button and get up out of there. I see the button. I'm getting up out of there too. I hit the button. Guess what? It's a mailman come out of nowhere. I slap run up to him. I'm like, hey, bro, let me get in the back of your truck. He looking at me like, what the hell? No. I look at him, I'm like, bro, just let me get in the back of your truck. I'm like, please, just take me down. Take me down to the bottom. Please, just take me down to the bottom. It was God, he took me down to the bottom. Like, people on camera, you ain't got to believe me. I don't care. I really saw this.
I believe it.
And it made me, that's what like made me know that the devil and God was real.
So, and this one's God sent that mailman. Absolutely. Little Tony went from kill. His name's Little Tony, I guess.
Yeah, and so like that, he's switching up his style. So Little Tony went from killer drug type rap to rapping about God. Look him up. So, and you like I was telling you that there's a bunch of other videos and there's videos of him, like them showing him the rituals on their phone and he's laughing. He's like, "There's no way." And it's like there's the McLaren in the background and then. It's that photo shoot, and he's got
receipts.
Yeah, like he's got receipts about this. He waited a year to drop all this. Like he put it all together to make sure that he didn't look like a jack wagon. You know what I mean?
I mean, how terrified would you have been to even talk about it at that?
I would have at that point thought, man, this is a dream. There's no way this is real.
Yeah. It's no coincidence he was on a mountain. Jesus was also tempted by Satan on a mountain.
Well, but the part of it that kind of caught my attention was when he was talking about all that stuff. He was saying that he's like, all you got to do is just let him do some things to you
for one day.
Just one day. And like, and you got all these people around him that have money and jewelry and they're famous and they're nobodies. You know what I mean? Like they've never put out a rap song and now they're famous and they got all this money and all this jewelry. And
all this stuff. It's like, who?
I like Sarah's response here. Sarah with the two hearts here says, no man would ever say this openly if he wasn't 100% telling the truth.
Yeah.
Like, she's talking about a man, not like somebody who is in that life anyway, but like just a regular dude like you and me. Like I said a minute ago, there's been, sometimes we'll say things in a joking manner. Maybe we should be careful what we say, but like for $1 billion, there's a video back in the day, or not for very long ago, where it was like the wife asked the husband, for $1 billion, would you punch me in my face? And be like, bro, full on, as hard as I can hit you, I will hit you.
I wouldn't stop.
$1 billion?
Yeah. I would put you in a coma.
I'm going to reconstruct your face. Yeah. We got that kind of money now. But, you know, that's tongue in cheek. It's funny. It's joking. But we also have to remember the power of what we're talking about and what we're saying, and like, you got to be very careful. Like,
you got to remember the things that were going on here are powerful things that you really got to be careful. You know what I mean? It reminds me of that scene in The Shift.
Yeah,
when he's praying. And he's like, oh, look at this. And then he's getting madder and madder. It's kind of like that. You know, when he's like, we spent all this money on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not taking you to McDonald's. We spent all this money to get you up here.
Have you ever seen somebody like in the midst of a difficulty or somebody being angry or like going from being somebody – let's just say somebody that's not normally an angry person that you know, that's like always happy, always, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden they become very angry. Like they don't look like the same person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can only imagine what people think whenever they see me, if I'm like, when I go off the deep end angry, you know what I mean? Which I try not to let happen very often, but it does happen occasionally. Of course, most people think I look mad all the time anyway, but...
RBF, bro.
I'm really not.
It's not all the time. It's just most of the time. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not all the time. It's just most of the time. But you know what I mean. It's just like, I believe him. I believe what he's saying. Yeah. Like, why would he say it? Why would he say it?
Yeah, and then, like, for him to be... I haven't looked him up.
Notice he didn't say any names other than Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. Well, there's the other video, and I sent it to you. The other video, he is name dropping.
Oh, you did send me another
video. I sent you another one.
Hold on. I haven't seen that yet. Oh, yes, you did send me another video.
Yes, and okay, so look, there's the McLaren back there and the Ferrari, like, and look, he's... So, okay, so that's him with the little Asian-looking guy right here. That's not him. The guy behind him is him.
Yeah.
So this guy's got the phone, and he's showing him. And he's like, no, show me. I don't believe you. No, show me. And he's showing him. He's like, what? Like, he's freaking out. He's laughing like, what is going on?
There's no way, dude. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's one of those situations where you're like, dude, are you playing with me right now?
Yeah, dude.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Yeah. But in that one, he's talking about people. And then there's some of the other people that are in there. Like, the further down this rabbit hole you go, the more it's like, holy crap, this is like legit, because those people are seen with like other celebrities, and like, who, no one knows who these people are, but they're seen with other celebrities, and they got jewelry on, they got these fancy cars, and these celebrities are coming up shaking their hands, and it's like all this stuff, like, okay,
who the heck is this?
Yeah, how are they popular? You know what I mean? Yeah. They did something. I mean, at some point to be this, I mean, they're not famous. We don't know who they are. It's people we've never heard of.
Usually the most wealthy people in the world are people you don't even know.
Yeah.
The Forbes will put out the top 100 wealthiest people in the world.
Yeah, and people that are actually the wealthiest aren't even on that list.
Yeah. And then you find out the ones that are really wealthy, you're like, who the hell is this person?
Yeah, they're not even on that list, though. Those are the ones that, like, fly under the radar. You know what I mean? Like, they don't – no one needs to know.
Yeah.
They can probably buy their way off that list. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
I don't think.
I've never done a lot of
Bezos and Elon Musk. I don't think they're the richest men. Yes, they are some of the richest
men. They're up there, but.
But I bet you there's some. I bet you there's a couple of them that are way wealthier.
Yeah. I've never done a whole lot of delving into the Illuminati and all that kind of stuff.
I understand some of it. Like I get some of it, but there's some of it that seems really far fetched to me. But yes, I do think that there is. Like how I view it, God, man, this is gonna open up something for some ridicule. But how I view it, and I don't care. But how I view it is like basically the Illuminati is like run by the devil himself, and he is controlling the powers that be. I mean, you know, you hear about like these celebrities drinking baby blood and stuff like this. I mean, it's no ever there's
yeah.
If you're anybody in the news or on social media, you've seen some of this stuff. You know what yep. I mean? You talk about the people that are doing these rituals and all this stuff, and you look at all this all these musicians and stuff that put Satan up on their when they're on the stage and they're practicing witchcraft on stage and they're doing all these things. Mm-hmm. I believe that's part of it.
Yep.
I mean, the enemy is attacking you at, you know, the music can be, it's a beautiful sound. It can move you. You know, we've all been a victim of that. Like we fall into some heavy metal and it's like, ooh, you know, we're just vibing and beating our heads off the wall and everything, you know, and everything's all good. And we're not really paying attention to the words, but you got to be very careful because those words for a lot of music they're feeding you something that you don't need to be fed. And I think that's part of what that is. That this is a prime example of why you pulled this up.
Yeah, I mean 100%. And sadly, I think some of the folks, some of the celebrities, some of the artists that get involved in that don't even know what they're actually doing. They don't take it seriously, maybe, or the
problem is that people have been so estranged from God.
Oh,
they have been drugged down this narrow back road that they've been taught, and it all is part of the times that we live in now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Look at how loose everyone's morals are. It's we're changing. Oh well, that's not technically a sin. Oh well, that's not technically a sin. Like we're changing the way sin should be viewed, and we need to take it back to the black and white. Like, this is a sin, this is a sin, this is a sin. And he's like, oh, no, but it's worded this way, it's not really a sin. You know what I mean? Like, trying to justify it.
Yeah.
So it's not that they are oblivious, but it's just everybody's been groomed to think that.
There's some lucidity to it. It's like lucidity.
Oh, that's a good one. Never heard that one before. I bet there's an English teacher out there listening right now losing their mind. What is that?
Lucidity in their mind?
Yeah.
I have no idea where that came from. There's just some... It's because I want to say, like, there's just, like, this looseness to it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like loose morals, like we've talked about. Yeah. There's a gray area. You know, there's room for interpretation and things like that. I think that there is on a level... But I think obviously humanity likes to take things as far as they can possibly go. So we want to take it away from where it belongs.
Yeah, drag it as close to the line as you can without falling over. And then the rope breaks. You know what I mean?
And guess what? I'm on the other side anyway. Yeah.
But here we go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what I pulled up that scripture and we continued the conversation because, you know, that's what we do. But the idea that it says... Our struggle is, this is about the full armor of God. It's in Ephesians chapter 2 or 6, verse 10, 6? Yeah, 6, sorry. Starting in verse 10, but I'm going to go to 12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so, like, honestly, we get deceived.
Well, hell yeah. The dude deceiving us is the freaking...
Great deceiver.
Yeah, the great deceiver. He's the master of lies and deception. Yeah. I mean,
yes.
He's the, now I got to find that scripture because he says he is the father of lies.
Yes.
Jesus actually says this. And that always stands out to me. When Christ says something, it's even more impactful, even though like God's word is the whole thing is enough for me. Whenever Jesus says it, it always goes just a little bit further for me. Okay, so John chapter 8, verse 44, you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things as he does. He was a murderer from the beginning,
from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And why does he do it? Because he hates God. Yeah. And second to that, he hates you.
Because any of us that are shown any favor, because he's shown zero favor.
Yeah.
His fate is written. It's over.
Yeah.
We are shown favor. We're shown grace. We're shown forgiveness. We openly and publicly admit Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We believe it wholeheartedly. We've accepted that. We've been saved. We've been baptized. We aren't perfect, but by God's grace, we are forgiven. You know what I mean? And he's not. So the way that he hurts God is he takes God's children with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, okay, no, you'll do. Yeah, come on. I like you. Come on, you can come with me. And this is part of that, what I'm talking about. Like, I do believe that the devil walks the earth in the flesh, and I do believe he interacts with people. I wholeheartedly believe that. 100%. And I believe you really got to pay attention to what's going on, because he is slick. He's not a red-skinned, horned devil that you see in cartoons and fairy tales. And
it'd be a lot easier if he was.
Yeah, and how people depict him in descriptions. That's not how this dude's probably dressed in an Armani suit, fresh haircut, fresh trimmed face, you know, probably about 6'3", fit, smooth talking, probably seems very caring.
Good looking guy.
Yeah, he's good, he'll smooth you over, you know. Probably seems like he's one of the best people in the world. He's the master of deception. He's going to do that, and then once he gets you in,
he's going to show you who he is.
Yeah, he's going to show you.
But
He's gonna lure you in with charm, charisma, and all that shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's funny how quickly these conversations go sometimes, though. Like, it doesn't even mean, like, I'm looking at the clock on the timer. It's at 38 minutes. Like it feels like we just started 5 minutes ago.
I've noticed when they start slow.
Yeah.
And they pick up.
Yeah.
It does seem like that. Like, it's like.
Yeah. Okay, so we've lined out all this. This is the way I love about the Bible. It like loves to be like give you all this negative stuff, and then we're gonna flip it on its head and like show you the other side of the story. So we've lined out how dangerous the enemy is, how much he is in our world, and he is active out here in these streets, man. Kudos to this young man. I'm glad that God got a hold of him. And I hope he continues on that path and all that kind of stuff. And
I can only imagine after seeing something like that you're emotionally and physically scarred forever. Ever.
Yeah.
That you, at that point, it's like, oh man, I got to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you were that close, dude. You were that close.
Yeah.
He was in your presence presenting you offers.
Yeah. And I guarantee you.
And you had enough self-composure and mental fortitude that you were like, no, man, take me to McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You were mentally capable enough to say, no, this ain't right. Because there's several people that probably do fall into that trap. But man, can you imagine that being you and you be like, man, something's not right. And you're like, man, I got to get down off of here.
Yeah.
And then seeing something like that.
He said the people that took him had left.
Yeah.
What?
Left him there.
What? Oh, you're all fired. All of you are all fired. No. Yeah,
you're none of you getting Christmas cards this year.
Yeah. The question, that becomes is, okay, so knowing all of this, knowing that we have an enemy, knowing that he is out there and he's fighting against us and he's trying to draw us in. It always reminds me of the cartoons, man. You remember the cartoons where, like, the lady bakes a fresh pie and the smell goes off with the little finger and it goes and gets the person.
The movie Life.
Yeah.
Have you seen?
Yes.
The movie Life. Yeah. Yeah. Burning his mouth. They can smell it. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like in the cartoons, you can see the scent go off and it grabs the character by its nose. Yeah, like, and he's like, you know, and that I see the picture of the enemy in that way. Like he's enticing you in that way. Okay. We've established that's a fact. That's truth. We understand that that's truth. Now, what do you do about it?
Yeah, but you know what that scent that he's throwing out is? It's money. It's fame. It's all these things. Because, dude, the thing about it is people have changed they've shifted the stature. They don't care to be successful anymore. They just want to be famous. You know, when you want to be successful, fame is a byproduct.
Yeah.
Like you're successful, you're working hard to be successful. All you want to be is famous, that is the number one goal. Success means nothing. So you're willing to take the shortcuts.
Yep.
The shortcuts are those things that are bad for your soul, bad for your character, bad for
you. There you go. Yeah.
I mean, because you look at all these people that get exposed. I mean, I hate bringing this name up, but, you know, there's a lot of people that have claimed that Puff Daddy is sodomizing his artists. I mean,
yeah.
There's a lot of claims out there saying that that's what's happening.
He got acquitted, supposedly.
Yeah, but I'm using that as a yardstick to measure. Okay,
let me tell you this: I don't trust our judicial system any at all. I really don't. I don't trust it, especially if you're wealthy.
Oh, they're talking about letting the Menendez brothers out of prison.
Gosh, do you remember that when we were young? Dude,
yeah, it was the most horrific thing you'd ever heard of. And now they're talking about letting them out?
They murdered their parents.
Murder. Dude. Brutally.
Yes.
Cold-blooded. Premeditated. That is
murder.
That is freaking.
All for. And look, they said it was because they were being abused and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't want to speak for them or anything like that. But you know, the night that they did this, they went to the Miami Heat game. And they sat on the front row because they were, well, they're already affluent, right? And there was a Ronnie Cycli card, a Fleer card, where they're in the background on the front row the night that they murdered their parents, bro. They're on the card. I used to have the card. I don't have it anymore. That was years ago.
I bet that thing is very highly sought after.
It's probably worth a lot of money now.
It for was not for
common nothing yeah, card not, back yeah. then, 3 cent card back then. Yeah,
but it's probably got some value because it's going to be sought after for.
Yeah, supposedly that was taken the night that they murdered their parents. They were at that game.
But that's a prime example.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, you get all these like, I hate saying this name, but you know, Kim Kardashian is like
the Kardashians.
Like, she's like picketing for their release, you know, and they've done their time. No, they haven't. Their sentence was life without parole. They have not done their time. They're still alive. They're
without parole is the question, the thing, right? Yeah,
life without parole. That was you know, they were facing the death sentence, but California's got weak.
A little loose on the death sentence.
So they're, if that would have happened in Texas, they'd already be gone.
100%.
That's premeditated. That's capital murder. That's premeditated murder. You know what I mean?
That was in the late 80s, right?
Dude, like,
we were kids.
Yeah, I mean, I bet I was 9 or 10 years old.
I'm thinking 9 or 10, yeah.
They were like 18 and 21
yeah,
at the time, or 17 and 20.
I hate 20. You, Dad.
Yeah. You know, whatever. Shot them with shotgun, didn't they?
I don't remember the details. I think it was pretty awful.
I think they shot him with a shotgun. Like, yeah.
I don't want to go off on that too far, but...
No, because, you know, it's a gray area. You know, I can tell you a whole bunch of stuff, but that don't mean it's the truth because it's only how I remember it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's too far back.
Yeah, it's way too far back.
The question is how 40 do you...
years ago, almost.
Almost. You know what I mean? A lot of things change in 40 years.
That's 34 years ago.
So the question is, though, how do you combat this enemy? What do you do, right? Like, how do you fight the good fight?
I think the most important thing that a person can do for their soul, like for their purpose, for their character, for their well-being, for their families, for their children, for everything, is recognizing, you know, like when you're going through the day, like the day starts so great, we're going through the day and everything starts perfect and you wake up and you pray and you give your thanks and you're just like, man, thank you. Like, y'all got the best life ever. You're an amazing God. And that's like one little thing. It's like the pebble, like you roll your office chair and hit a pebble and it dumps you over or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like one little thing, one little inconvenience. It's like, ah. And then it's another little inconvenience. And then it's another little inconvenience. It only takes like three or four of those. And then it's like your mind starts getting like going into this other place where it's like, really? What else could happen today? Don't forget, just 5 hours earlier, you were praying about how perfect your life was and you were thanking God for all your blessings and you were doing all these things. Don't switch gears now because some couple little inconveniences, they didn't kill you. Yeah, pissed you off, but it didn't kill you.
It sucked in the moment.
It sucked. Like, God, damn.
Is it really
bruised my elbow and I did it in front of people or whatever, you know what I mean? Or, oh, man, I backed into a freaking fence or whatever. And it's like, God, what now? What else could possibly go wrong? You know, it's like,
is it that bad, dude?
Dude, that's the enemy in your head telling you that everything, because once you know, when you're getting closer, all these little inconveniences, he's like, shh, look at this. That's how I see it. Like, that's how I view not like that. That's how it is, but that's how I view it. Like, the enemy's just like, you know, that constant. You know, the little cartoons with the little devil on your shoulder.
Yep.
That's how it feels sometimes.
I think that this conversation is leading to a point, and that I think the title of this episode is going to be "How Quickly We Forget." In those moments, man, it's how.
Not what have I done for you? What have I done for you lately?
Yeah, and how quickly we forget how blessed we truly are.
Yeah,
how good we really do have it. You know, as difficult as it is in this life, man, as hard as things can be, as speed bumps in life come along, especially for us, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was complaining earlier about like the plethora of financial things that keep jumping in front of my pathway, and we've talked and it's documented on Bumper Sticker Wisdom about my relationship with money and how it's like the one thing that's one of the biggest strongholds in my life. It's one of the areas where I struggle the most to let go of control, right? And so whenever all of these things start to pile up, what do you think happens? You know what I mean? I start to think about what can happen next. Yeah. Why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't the car break down? Why wouldn't I get a flat tire?
You know what that is? You know what that is? I raise a hallelujah.
Get the hell out of my lane.
You know, it's one of them. Your praise and worship. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, 100%.
You're praising him, and immediately in the same breath, you're inhaling, I raise a hallelujah. And then as you're exhaling, what the hell's wrong with you, you freaking idiot? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's the sudden shift in everything that you got going on. It's everything is great. Everything. Look, these are first world problems. We don't have problems. We have minor inconveniences. We don't have problems. What we have is a failure to recognize that the problems are there. It's self-induced. You know what I mean? We're products of our own demise anyways. I mean, I got up I was in the shower and I was like, man, so awesome. So awesome. You know, I got the best wife ever. I got a good job. And then as I'm leaving work, they're like, I freaking hate this freaking place. Like, I can't wait. You know, I'm like, what happened to 12 hours earlier? And I'm showering, you know, like everything's so great.
Yeah, like when we started tonight, it was, I think both of us kind of had an attitude when we started tonight.
Love everything. Love everybody. Then get off work, it's like, puke in my mouth if I have to talk to them again. You know what I mean? It's like,
how quickly we forget.
Yeah, it's not what have I done for you. It's what have I done for you lately. I think the key point there is when you're battling that, you need to remember to show, like, try to walk in a little more humble way. Mm-hmm. Try to present yourself a little more, not Christ-like. You're not Christ. We are somewhat Christ-like, but try to present yourself in a more Christ-like manner.
Right.
And don't fall into that trap of letting the enemy control your emotions and losing your composure so fast. Because, dude, that's you. One thing that you like, wounds heal. If you punch somebody in the face, that heals. So things that don't heal are the words the emotional damage from things that are said. You can't take those back. You can't take a punch back either. But that's like, in a couple weeks. Like,
it's funny how quickly you let go of that, though.
Yeah, but I've been punched in the face. And I don't care about it, but I've always remembered what people said to me. Things that hurt me. I've always remembered those things. Yeah. But the people that punched me in the face, I think he might have punched me. I don't remember him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah, I do remember getting punched in the face. Now I could see him and be like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's up, dude?
Yeah. But it's the people that said these hurtful things, the digs,
mm-hmm.
that really hit you. Those are the things that I just cannot forget, and I dwell on them, and I think about them. Is that true? Am I really that way? Am I really that kind of person? Am I a vagina? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I for lack of better words, a homo? I mean, you know, like when you're in high school and you're fighting with people, they call you names.
Yeah.
And you're like,
what the hell? Not very nice ones either.
Yeah. Cracker ass cracker. I've heard that one million freaking times. What's funny is from one of my friends used to call me that. And I'm like, dude,
will you stop that for crying out loud?
Yeah. If I called you pie face, I'd be freaking, you know what I mean? It's like,
I think probably one of the most important things that we can do though is just start this journey. Right. And like really start to get into God's word. And I think that, God's word, there's a scripture that I don't know where it's at or whatever, but it says that God's word is alive and active.
It's alive and active in you.
Yeah. And me. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It separates bone from marrow and wheat from chaff. And what that means to me every time I've read it, every time I've said it, is that you can't help it. Like, if you just start to do it, it will change you. It's not going to be drastic immediately. That's our problem.
No, but you know what it does? It's that little nudge. You know, you talk about the devil sitting here. When you start getting in the word, the angel's sitting here.
On the other side.
So when he's chirping in this ear, the angel's leaning over like, shut your friggin' mouth, bro. Mm-hmm. Shut up. And then now you start hearing this one a little more. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you're not, like, if you're not diving into the word or you're not making any advance at all to try to help build your relationship. Because, like, you can be that dude that just, I'll read a couple verses and say a quick little prayer. Yeah, I did mine. You know what I mean? That's little devil is over here and he's winning.
And that's not what we're talking about. And that's not what I'm talking about. And, okay, I'll give you a good example. So, obviously, this is a passionate effort, a thing that I love, that we do, and all that kind of stuff. It's another thing that helps keep us engaged and keep me engaged and things like that. But on behalf of Bumper Sticker Wisdom, for the better part of the last 18 months or so, we'll say 12 months, we'll just say the last year, I was doing a daily verse thing. I stopped doing it, and within 5 days, I lost my streak in my Bible app. Within 5 days.
Okay, let me ask you this, though.
613 days, Jason.
I know, but you're talking about a streak. You're not talking about any. Who cares about the streak?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay, I did that same thing with me and my wife have this thing going on TikTok. I think we're like 280-something days on TikTok. Messages shared. And I'll send her several, and she won't say nothing, and I'll send her a text message like, hey, check your freaking TikTok. And then one day I was like, man, I don't want our marriage to be that. The interactions we have in person are a million times better.
That's it. And that's where I was headed, because I remember talking to you about it and saying, man, I probably should find a better reason to be in my Bible app.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't the fact that I lost the streak. It's the fact that I didn't have a good reason to get into it. Actually, not that I didn't have a good reason. I have a great reason to do it. I just didn't find a good reason to do it.
Okay, so here's something that I, like, this is what I do. And I know it's not much, but now I'm starting Matthew. Okay?
Nice.
I'll read the first chapter of Matthew tomorrow. Thursday, I'll read the second chapter. Friday, I'll read the third chapter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the weekend, I won't, obviously. But because I keep my Bible on my desk. It's not my church Bible. It's the Bible that your dad got me. And that's the only one I read for some reason. I can't read my good. I'm not saying my good Bible. They're all good Bibles.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
But I can't read the nice Bible, the one that you got me.
Yeah.
Sits on top of my safe in the box.
Yeah. Well, you still got it in the box.
Yeah, all protected and nice and pretty. You know what I mean?
The one that you glued two pages together.
With. Yeah, I did. With the tabs.
The little tabs. Yeah.
But the one on my desk is the Bible for is a recovery Bible.
Yeah.
I read that one. I can actually sit and read that one. So I read a chapter. Sometimes I get busy and I'll forget, and then it's like I'm not in the. I hate to say this because it sounds very shallow and very negative. It's not that I'm not in the mood. It's just okay. I've lost that. And so I don't want to just read it and half-ass interpret it. I like when usually after I do timesheets and invoices, I'll sit down and I'm like, and it's because it's quiet. There's no one around. No one's going to come interrupt me.
I got 15 minutes is all you need.
But if we start getting into like work hours, like when everybody else starts coming around, I don't like people coming in. And I know I'm not going to get the same out of it. So I'm like, man, I'll have to catch this one tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or if I stay through lunch and I don't go in the break room, I'll hammer out one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I totally get what you're saying. And like, to me, that's where I was headed. It was like, man, it wasn't about the streak per se. It was about the fact that I didn't find a good reason to get into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even if you don't get into the app, your physical Bible. I love the physical Bible, honestly. That's my favorite
too.
I love the physical. I love having the pages to turn and all that kind of stuff and all that. But I think that if there was one message that we could give out today, it's do not conform to the patterns of this world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In all your ways, man, try to find a way to get into relationship with God, to get into that relationship, to find some reason other than just the fact that there's difficulty in life, because that's the problem. We only want to go to God when things are difficult in life.
Yeah.
This is about so much more than that. It's about eternity. It's not just about what's happening today on 8, whatever day it's going to be. Well, it's 8/19 today, but whatever day this comes out.
Man, wow, that's weird. I'm totally whiffed on that one.
About 8/19/2025, it's about the years that you'll never see come in this life. You know what I mean? And the enemy is a slippery, slippery, tricky mother. You know what I mean? But we've been given the tools to combat him, and we just choose not to follow it. Yeah. We choose not to even look at it. So...
My closeout joke is also a little bit of wisdom.
Oh, you're going to steal wisdom from me. Let's go. I'm just kidding.
It's half and half. You don't need a parachute to go skydiving.
Okay.
But you do need one if you want to go twice.
That is definitely wisdom, and it's funny. Okay.
A little snarky, it looks like.
It's not snarky, but we were talking about the love of money, and this is Bertrand Russell, and to me, it's more of a political commentary, honestly. It's not necessarily just a wisdom, but it says, if we wish to diminish the love of money, which we are told is the root of all evil, the first step must be the creation of a system in which everyone has enough and no one has too much.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I mean, shoot.
I don't know if I said that a bunch this episode.
I don't know if that's...
We
need a bleeper.
I can bleep it.
And I'm like, beep. So I'm like, motherfucker. Fornicator.
Oh, man. I actually had somebody tell us recently, or tell me recently, that we should check that in general. None whatsoever.
We probably should. We really probably should, but
yeah.
I think it takes away from... We did make it a point to say that me and you agreed that the F word was out.
F word is out. GD is out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it takes away the genuine interaction we have with each other. Because that's how we interact with each other anyways.
Personally. Yeah.
But I mean, it's a whole lot worse, but we're dumbing it down a little bit at least, right?
Quite a bit, to be honest with you. I will tell you that our conversations here have a lot less bleeps in it. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes my mom's like, Jason.
I know.
And my kid's like.
I have been trying to make a concerted effort to try and tamp it down in general. Not with a whole lot of success.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It's just my vernacular.
When I get fired up, it's game over. Self-control, just throw that out the window. Yeah, it's over. We're dropping F-bombs for days,
fornicator.
Yeah. You know it's an adjective, a vowel and a noun. I mean,
it can be a verb.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it can be anything. Yeah. F the effing effort. You know what I mean? When I catch that mother effer, I'm getting my mother effing money. I mean, it's in the words of Bernie Mac, the late Bernie Mac. Yeah, it's crazy. God
bless you, Bernie Mac.
Anyways, thank you guys for joining us. Come check us out. Keep us in your playlist, and we're ever so grateful.
We'll see you on Saturday.